Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. Our pastor is out of town doing a little vacationing. He and Cheryl are enjoying each other's company, I'm almost certain. He promised me that this was a work vacation, that he was seeking the Lord about future sermon directions, and I know my pastor is on it. So, good morning, Jeff. Good to see you. And so y'all be praying for him, that this is a fruitful week for him and a fruitful week for them as a couple. Psalm 100 is one of my more favorite psalms. It is an invitation to worship. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and we, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good, church. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. We have an opportunity this morning to worship Creator God, Jesus Christ himself. Man, what an opportunity this is for us. So let's seek the Lord this morning as we worship him. He's here. He's available. Let's pray. Father, thank you for invitations to worship you. And Lord, I have to confess, there's times I come into this place with pretty low expectations. And so, Father, I just thank you that you're a God that you so desire to move in our lives, move on our hearts in ways that we'll know you more, that we'll know that you're good, that you're awesome, that you're mighty, that you're perfect, that you love us. And so, Lord, we just thank you for those opportunities. And, Father, I just pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that every one of us in this room, those who are worshiping online, connects with you on a deep level this morning. And, Father, we love you. We trust you. And we thank you for the love you have for us. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to meet with you. And we praise you. Thank you. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand. If you're able, let's worship the Lord together.
Good morning. As Billy said, let's sing together. I heard an old story, how a Savior came. sing it out.
God of wonders beyond our declares your majesty. You are holy, 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 holy.
Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come forward and join Miss Teresa.
To leave. Come on, bring it in. Bring it in. That's all right. I am so glad you're here today. Today, I am going to talk about sin. Do you sin?
Yes.
Yes. Everyone sins. And I want to also talk about repentance. But let's first start with sin. When was sin first introduced into the world? Adam and Eve, that's right. They came down, they were made, God made the creation, and it was good. And then they had choice. God gives all of us choices, and he gave Adam and Eve a choice. And they chose to go disobey God, and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so they ended up having to go outside of the Garden of Eden, and sin was introduced to the world. But God always had a plan. What was God's plan, Benjamin?
Send an angel with a fiery sword.
Yeah, that's right. The angel went in front of the garden. But what was God's plan to tackle sin?
To send Jesus to die on the cross for us.
That's right. He sent Jesus to die on the cross. Now, was Jesus sin? Did Jesus ever sin?
Never.
No. He was good. He was clean and clear. So I also have one jar to represent us. So we have us here, and then we have Jesus, and we have our sin. And I kind of want to show you what repentance can do. Does anyone know what repentance means? I haven't asked that yet. Repentance means that you pray and you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm going to try not to do that again. All right? So anyways, we are born, and we're born into a world where sin has already been introduced. Right? So we've already been born into a world that, and then we get choices. As we grow up, we have choices. And sometimes we don't choose the right choice, right? How many people sometimes disobey mom and dad? Yeah, everyone can have their hand raised. I'll put a few in there for that one. What other sins do we do? Benjamin.
Make a mess in our room and don't listen to your mom.
That, oh, sure. That's a good one. You have one, Ellie?
Not listening during school.
Not listening. Sure. Yep. Grayson?
Saying bad words.
Bad words. That's right. Oh, hitting or kicking people, yep. All of those makes us dirty, right? That's a lot of sin. Can we take care of this ourselves?
No, we need Jesus.
We can't clean this ourselves. We can't do anything that would clean the sin out of us. But Jesus can. So we pray to God, right? We pray and we say, God, we're sorry. We're so sorry. Please forgive us and help us not do it again. And then Jesus, who, like you said, died on the cross and rose 3 days later, he has the ability to come in.
What?
And cleans it right away. Hey, Exactly. But I have another question. Do you stay clean after you've prayed and asked? No, because what happens, Benjamin? You sin again? Yeah, so you sin again. You lie, you're kicking, you're disobeying mom again. You're doing it all and you're getting dirty again. So what do you have to do again? Ask Jesus again to forgive you so that he can clean you again. It's like it goes away quick. Immediately you are forgiven of those sins and you are clean by Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for these children and thank you for Jesus. May you help us pray and know that you are there, and so that when we sin that we go to you and we pray and ask for forgiveness, and we know that you clean our souls and make us fresh and new again, Lord. We pray that we do this over and over again as many times as we need to. This I pray in your most holy name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Will you stand and recite the Apostles' Creed with me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So, question, how many of y'all would say you are busy? Anybody? Anybody? There's a lot. Hands that don't go up at that question, bless y'all. Y'all are truly in a good spot if you do not feel like you're busy, right? But this week for a lot of us was spring break, maybe. And it feels like even though it's supposed to, like in the title, be a break, I found myself going, I need to clean the house. We need to do yard work. We need to do this. We have to do this, right? And that busyness just seems to catch up with us and keep going. And so I want to read a passage this morning. It says, while they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. So when we get caught up in the busyness of just things that need to get done, everyday things, right? Sometimes we forget to simply stop and sit at Jesus' feet to listen to what he has to say. And so I want to give us that opportunity this moment to just take this time to sit in silence, to pray if you need to just be in the Lord's presence however you feel that this morning, and just listen to what he has to say to us.
Thank you.
close in the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a reminder, if you would like to give this morning, there is offering boxes at both sides of the sanctuary, and there's also our online giving and app. Thank you.
So as we continue, before you get standing up and everything, I did something different in the early service, and it was, I swear, Billy, sometimes it looked like I pushed like a factory reset button on a couple people because they just were like, didn't know what to do. But in early service, when Shauna was sitting there reading Luke 10 and talking about sitting at the feet of Jesus, unplanned, our next song is The More I Seek You. And the chorus of this song is, I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heartbeat. So I'm actually going to ask you to remain seated for this song, for the sake of, I want you to focus on the fact that you are sitting in the presence of God in this very moment. And I still encourage you to sing. I still encourage you to participate. But find that moment where you are at the center of your God's presence, and that you're just sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him for who he is. And for the people that might factory reset when I say sit down during a worship song, I'm sorry. You can still stand if you have to, but I would encourage you to give it a try and just find yourself in the presence of Jesus in this next song.
The more I
So with that, thank you for humoring me. Thank you for finding that moment where hopefully you found yourself at the feet of Jesus. And I offered this invitation to early service as well. If you want to remain seated, that is entirely up to you. However, if you'd like to stand, you're more than welcome for the rest of the set.
It's not my
Our God is worthy to be praised. Hey, Brent, thanks you for that. I think most of us really don't sit and spend some time being still before Him. Well, good morning again. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are honored that you would choose Wiley Methodist as your place of worship. If you would like to leave us a record of your visit, there's a guest registration card with a blue stripe in the chair pocket in front of you. You can fill that out. You can drop that in the offering boxes by the doors. Also, I will be by the main entrance after the service. Love to meet you if you choose to do that. Every time I preach, I tell our guests that if this sermon is horrible, if it falls flat, please come back next week because our pastor will be back and I know you'll get a good one next week. So if you're visiting with us, God bless you as you worship with us. I told the early service, all of this dust in the air is wreaking havoc on my sinuses. This is a four-bottle sermon, by the way. I'm drinking heavily this morning, just saying. I'm confessing that sin to you. I need lots of water this morning. You know, our pastor asked me about a month ago to develop a sermon that relates to the future of our fellowship. Most of you are aware that the church has voted to pursue expanding this campus, with a goal in mind of raising $5 million over the next 5 years. And we are a church with a budget of $1 million a year, $1.1 million, and I'm not a smart man, but for me, it's obvious that we need to receive offerings twice our annual budget in order to meet this goal. And I'm not saying that we can't pull that off ourselves, but I know God can. And He is a miracle-working God. He is a God of miracles. Do you believe that? Yeah. You know, sometimes when we think about miracles, we think about stuff weird and spooky. Definition of a miracle is really pretty simple. It's an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. That's from Webster's Dictionary, and the Greek and Hebrew adds on, it's power beyond our control. I don't know about you, but I need power beyond my control as I navigate life. And so, open this bottle, sorry. Thought it was the one I already drank out of. So we need a miracle, church. We need God to move in power. And we have a team of 17 or 18 people that are committed to praying into this. And that team's going to meet here in the sanctuary at 1:30 today to continue to pray, and everybody's invited to come to this prayer gathering. We need a miracle, and the good news is God is a miracle-working God. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of miracles. And Lord, as we all sit here today, we're sitting, we're living, we're breathing because you are a miracle-working God. And Lord, just help us to, I guess, look beyond our own ability to rationalize who you are and what you do. I think all of us have some kind of concept in our mind about who you are. And Father, I just pray that you destroy that concept and give us a vision of the reality of you, who you are and your goodness. Lord, just expand our thinking this morning about you being a God of miracles. And Lord, we trust you. We thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. See, you know, the scripture is full of miracles of the Lord. And if we took them one by one, we would preach on miracles until Jesus comes back. I'm going to take just a couple of them out of scripture as it relates to the nation of Israel when they were in the wilderness. And so all of you are probably aware that the nation of Israel were captive. They were in bondage in Egypt. And through the miraculous hand of the Lord, they were liberated. They were set free. And not only did they walk out of that nation, and I don't know if there's in human history if there's ever been a nation that was held captive that just walked out, unless an army came in and liberated them. God was the army in this sense, God of angel armies. But not only did they walk out of this country, the Egyptian people begged them to leave, and also said, "Here, take our stuff with you. Just get out of here, or our nation's going to be destroyed." That's a miracle, by the way. And so they're in the wilderness, they're in the desert, and they're several days into their journey, and they discover that they don't have any food and they don't have any water. And so they're looking for the basic essentials of life. There's 5 million people there. It's traveling as a community, as the Jewish people, and they travel for 40 years. They find out they have no food, they have no water. I mean, there's not there's no HEB, no Market Street in the desert, obviously. You know, there's no fruit trees, there's no nut trees, there's no crops, there's no vineyards. It's the desert. And so they're looking for provision from the Lord, and they cry out to the Lord, and God moves in response to them crying out. I find that interesting. When we reach out to Him, sometimes that's when He responds to the need. He may not respond until we reach out to Him. So they're needing food, and so God tells Moses what He's going to do. He said, "You're going to eat quail, you're going to eat meat today, and tomorrow when you wake up, there's going to be a dew on the ground, and when that dew lifts, there's going to be a frost-like, flake-like substance, and every person needs to go out and gather a certain amount." He said, "Don't gather any more than this, or don't gather any less than this. Gather that amount, take it, eat it, and then the next day I will provide for you again. If you gather more than I command you to, then it's going to sour, it's going to rot, and you'll have to throw it out." And so the next morning, they wake up, the dew's on the ground, it lifts, and they see this odd substance on the ground, and they call it manna, which in the Hebrew, that literally means, "What is it? We've never seen this stuff before." Now, there's plenty of places, there's lots of desert and wilderness in West Texas. So if they were from West Texas, they would have said something like, "What the heck is this stuff? You know, never seen it before." So they called it manna. They couldn't define it. And so they gathered it and they ate it. The next day it shows up again, but some were disobedient. They gathered more than they were commanded to, and it rotted. And so they did that for 6 days. And on the sixth day of the week, God said for them to gather twice as much for day 6 and day 7, because the seventh day was the Sabbath, and they would rest on that day. And sure enough, they gathered enough for 2 days on the sixth day, and overnight that manna didn't rot, it didn't sour. Some people didn't get the memo. They go out on the Sabbath looking for manna. It's not out there. And so God fed them for 40 years, with the exception of a 30-day period. We'll talk about that in a minute, with this manna, this substance. And as I think about what the human body needs to survive, to grow and to be healthy, I don't know what nutrients, I don't know what chemicals, I don't know what was in the manna, but it had to be something that would give them life that was actually a healthy life. Unless God did something supernatural outside of that. They would take it and they would make bread out of it, and then they would boil it just to try to come up with some different recipes so that it didn't seem like they were eating the same thing all the time. You know, I'm not looking for any sympathy, but I've got some digestive issues that the Lord has healed, but He has healed that through the diet that I intake. I got about 8 or 10 things I can actually eat, and my body still functions well. And you may say, "Oh, Billy, I feel so sorry for you." And I've had people tell me that. My poor little mama, she loved to bake, and I couldn't eat her chocolate chip cookies. And she said, "Billy, I'm praying for you that you can eat those cookies." I said, "Mom, I'm fine, really, I'm fine. You know, I'm not eating manna every day for the rest of my life. I've got choices." But they didn't have any choice. And so about 2 years into this journey, They were tired of manna. "We can't eat another day if we have to eat this. You know, we're just tired of it." And they complained, and God said, "Okay." They wanted meat, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to give you what you want. It's not what you really need, but be ready because meat's coming. And so he said, you're not going to eat meat for just one day, but you're going to eat meat for 30 days. And so read it. It's in Scripture. So that night, God caused a wind to shift, come off the sea, and quail flew in, literally, I guess, fell out of the sky to a depth. Now, this is hard to fathom. To a depth of 3 feet, covered the entire camp of 5 million people, and 2 or 3 miles outside the camp, a day's journey outside the camp. So you've got quail 3 foot deep for miles. And so the people begin to gather. It takes them a day and a half to gather up the quail. And I don't know what that might have weighed. The scripture says there's 60 bushels per person. If that was, if those bushels were full of wheat or corn, then that would have been 3,600 pounds, I read. So I don't know, maybe 800 pounds of quail, maybe 1,000 pounds of quail. And they began to eat it. I mean, a plague broke out, but they got so sick of it, God said, it's going to run out of your nostrils. You're going to be tired of it. Now, our son was 6 or 7 years old, and he loved strawberries. And so we bought a bunch of strawberries. I think they were on sale. And we bought him a week's worth. Well, he ate a week's worth in one sitting, and he got sick. And this was so gross. I literally witnessed strawberries come out of his nose. I mean, it was horrible. So I can just imagine those people that were so sick of the quail. Lord, could you please give us some manna? And it's interesting in Scripture, they never complained again about that manna. God made his point. But the point is that God is a God of miracles. Provided food for them for 40 years. The bread of heaven, the bread of angels. And if he can do that for 5 million people, he can make provision for this church as we move forward. And he can make provision for us individually if we need a miracle. The second miracle is the miracle of water. You know, you can survive on water without food for some period of time. You can't survive on food without water. But water was a huge need, obviously, for 5 million people. And I did some research looking at what the average person needs per day to stay hydrated. And looks like there was a need of 3 to 4 million gallons of water per day. Now, the city of Abilene several years ago, I don't know what it is today, on a daily average daily basis, the water need for the city of Abilene was like 20 million gallons. But that's not just drinking water. That's bathing. That's, you know, flushing our toilets, doing laundry. And so it was a huge need for that community and their livestock to stay hydrated. Everybody has seen a backyard swimming pool, I'm almost certain, right? Everybody has. Most of those swimming pools, just to kind of give you a visual, are 20,000-gallon pools. So 200 of those filled with water a day is what that community needed just to survive. Over a 40-year period, 3 million swimming pools, backyard swimming pools full of water is what they needed. And there were several places, oases, is that even a word? What's the plural for oases? A couple of oases. And some reservoirs that they drank from, but outside of that, water had to come from somewhere. Well, they've done some excavating, some exploring, some archaeological digs in a region in Saudi Arabia that was for years was restricted by the government, and they've opened that up. And what they've discovered at a certain part of that area in the wilderness, they have found where they think that the nation of Israel camped for a year when they received the Ten Commandments, when they received the law, when they built the tabernacle. And one reason they think that's the spot is because there is a mountain in that area that is blackened about one-third of the way up. I mean, two-thirds of the way up. The top third of that is black. Scripture mentions that God comes down and the fire is consuming that mountain. And so they've gone up and they've taken the rocks on that mountain just to see if they're solid black, and they're not. They chip away the outside, and the inside is the same color as all the other rocks in that area. And so they've found a rock that they believe God commanded Moses to strike with his staff, and then it would split, and water would flow out of that rock. And it flowed out of that rock. Scripture said it flowed out of that rock for a year. Anyway, there's a video that Lee's going to show us that might kind of give us a visual of what that might have looked like.
This is amazing, folks. We are at the split, in the split rock. Well, we've made it now to the base of the split rock, and you can see what a view we have. We're here in Rephidim on the western side of Mount Sinai, and all around us you see these giant plains where the Israelites would have encamped, and the battle with the Amalekites would have happened somewhere. And of course, you do have the giant split rock of Horeb. And so as the water came out of this area, it would have flowed out into the encampment of the Israelites and given everyone plenty of water for the time they encamped here. And you can see how these rocks here have this erosion going on. Now, there are many rocks in this area that are deformed and eroded from obviously natural causes. You have the wind coming through here a lot and some rain. But if there were rivers of water coming out of this split rock, like the Bible says, then this erosion would happen a lot quicker, and you would still have it to this day, even with the natural erosion on top of it. This is amazing, folks. We are at the base of the split, and you can see it goes all the way through this giant rock that's sitting high on this hill. And this is where the Bible says Moses struck the rock, and water came out in the sight of all of Israel. Now, this giant rock is standing on a high hill that overlooks this giant plain that we were just exploring earlier today. Now, this is the area of Rephidim where the Israelites encamped and complained about the lack of water, and where they fought the battle with the Amalekites. Now, as you can see, the sun is going down behind this split rock that is standing here on a pretty high hill. In fact, you can see around me where we have this big plain that we were just exploring earlier.
Interesting, you can look at this video further as they show the landscape of that area, and there's not that much erosion anywhere else except for where it runs down from that rock. God is a miracle working God, and he provided for 5 million people for 40 years by giving them food and giving them water. I think the Lord would have me just share a quick word of personal testimony as far as his provision. Again, we are looking to him for provision for this church. And, you know, we personally have seen a long history of God's faithfulness, financial provision for us. You know, we got married in 1979. September 14th, by the way, if Carlene asked you. I know the date. I was late for the wedding, by the way. She'll tell you that story. But it was my friend Philip's fault. is who my best man. It was his fault. But anyway, I heard I was quite the catch back in that day. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's probably not true. I'll tell you, I married up like most every man in this room married up. We won the lottery. And we got married. I got radically saved in 1981. I went to work for the Abilene Fire Department in 1983. And Carlene was working outside the home, and our and our daughter was born. Our first child was born in 83. And about 2 years later, we had her in a daycare situation where a mom was taking care of her two kids and maybe five or six others. And she was really a sweet lady, but man, our daughter was struggling in that environment. And every day we picked her up, she was crying. And so Carlene and I prayed about that, and we sensed that the Lord was calling her to step out of the workforce and stay home and raise our children. Our son was born 3 years later. And I know that's not the call on every family's life. That was the call on our life. There are families that with two-parent incomes that are just incredibly successful. Kids are doing well. That just wasn't working well for our family. And so that kind of created an issue because, I worked for the city of Abilene, and firefighters in that day, you know, we didn't get paid a lot of money. Now, in today's economy, firefighters and police officers are compensated pretty well, and I'm grateful for that. But in that day, I think the city just paid us just a little above the poverty level so they wouldn't be embarrassed when we walked in someplace trying to tap into social services. I mean, it was tight, incredibly tight. So tight that for us to just pay our bills, I needed to generate $500 a month part-time income. Now, I worked 24 hours, I was off 48 hours, so I had lots of opportunities to work, but $500 a month is what was staring us in the face just to pay our bills. Now, in today's economy, that's $1,500. I just looked it up just to give you maybe a point of reference. And so, man, I did everything legal to try to make extra money. I mean, I built fences, cleaned swimming pools, I stripped and waxed floors at a nursing home for years in the wee hours of the morning. I dabbled in carpentry some. I delivered flowers on Valentine's Day. I hauled hay one day. One day. And I said, I'm never doing that again. I'll starve to death. I'll starve my family to death before I haul hay again. It was horrible. One of the worst days of my life. But we watched God just provide. You know, we were never late on a bill. And for 12, 14 years, we might have had $200 in the bank. And we just saw God just do miracle after miracle, making provision. I remember one Sunday morning we were at church, and, you know, we didn't present ourselves as a family in need. And I'm assuming people came to the conclusion that, well, Billy's a firefighter. He makes so much money that Carlene doesn't have to work. Isn't that nice? Well, it wasn't really that way, but I remember one Sunday morning, there was this precious saint of the Lord comes up and gives Carlene $100. God told me to give this to you. And we had a bill that was due in a couple of days, and we just saw God work miracles after miracles, making provision for us. At the same time, we felt that we need to be obedient financially and give God the first fruits of our income. And we started doing that early on. And so we just trusted the Lord. God, we're going to honor you with this. And Father, we're trusting you for the outcome. And God's been so faithful to us all of these years. He really has. You know, we're not wealthy by any means. I mean, you have billionaires, you have millionaires. We're thousandaires. I don't know if you're any more thousandaires in the room. We got a couple $1,000 stuffed away, but you know, you can't outgive the Lord. You really can't. And God has. I don't know. We have. I'm not boasting. I'm just want to make a point. We have the gift of giving. We didn't ask for it. God gave it to us. And I don't know how many times he's giving us something that he wants us to give to somebody else. And we've got to be obedient. 10 days ago, I get this small windfall show up in my checking account. You know, I'm retired from the fire service, and we didn't pay in Social Security for a lot of years. And so when I started drawing Social Security, I got dinged about a third of what I would have gotten if I didn't have a fire department pension that didn't pay into Social Security. Well, they repealed that law the 1st of January this year. And so retroactive payments would go back to January of last year. And so they said, watch your bank account. Money's just going to show up. And $7,000 shows up 10 days ago. And so, yeah. Then I said, God, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do with this? And so Carlene looked at, we looked at each other, and we just, okay, God, just show us. Well, 2 hours later, I get a text from a family member that has that need. And it's almost like God just funnels that through us. I mean, church, you can't outgive him. You can't outgive him. This church has been faithful. We're not holding God's foot to the fire, but about 17% of what we bring in goes out the door. And since God's a miracle-working God, he's going to honor that. I'm absolutely convinced he's going to honor that. He's the God of miracles. I've seen him heal bodies. My mother-in-law, Carlene's mom, years ago they discovered she had, through a scan, she had a blood clot, large blood clot that's positioned 2 inches off of her heart, the main vein going back into her heart. They were so concerned about it, they told her, don't move. Don't move. We're going to do surgery. And so they go in and they discover that there was an object, a clot or whatever, that the inside lining of that vein had encapsulated that clot. And there were cardiologists all over the state of Texas said, this doesn't happen. We don't know what happened. And the Lord spoke to Carlene's mom and said, don't worry about it. You don't really need the surgery. But I'm going to do it. Let them do it anyway, so that I can be glorified. When I was in the fire service, there was a crew that was working on South Abilene. They were laying sewer line, and they dug a trench 17 feet deep. And when you dig a trench like that to keep it from collapsing, they'll shore up the sides with steel. With supports in between. And so they were digging like an 8-foot section, shoring that up, another 8-foot section and shoring that up. And so they worked on an 8-foot section. They hadn't shored it up yet. And there was a man in the bottom of that trench, 17 feet down, that was shoveling dirt out of that trench. Well, the north wall collapsed on the south wall. And we were anticipating a body recovery. And so there's some machinery on site. They frantically start digging. 5 hours later, we get down pretty deep, and we hear this voice, help, help. And he's alive. And somehow when that wall collapsed, it almost like there was this space. He was kind of down on his hands and knees. There was this space that kept him safe. It just formed around him. And then he had air to breathe for 5 hours. A miracle from the Lord. That was on a Saturday evening, and the last thing I heard him say when he got in the ambulance, I'm going to church tomorrow morning. He knew it was a miracle. Gosh, there was this marriage one time that was absolutely doomed. The husband's wife got involved with drugs, and she moved in with her male cousin. And he tattooed her, branded her in his living room, proving ownership of her. It was ugly. It was horrible. The husband never gave up on his wife. He was praying. I was really close to the husband's father. He got us to praying, and I saw God supernaturally restore that relationship. He is a God of miracles, church. Now, our church needs a miracle. But I'm convinced that there may be some in this room who need a miracle as well. It could be financial. It could be physical. Maybe a miracle of peace, maybe a miracle of wisdom, a miracle of knowledge, a miracle of restoration of relationships. Terry, can you please come to the keyboard, please? So here's what I want to do. I think this is what the Lord wants me to do this morning. I want to pray for those who need a miracle from the Lord this morning. And to signify your response of needing that miracle, I'm just going to ask you to stand. If you need a miracle from the Lord this morning, I mean, there's nothing special about me praying. What's really significant is people standing. I think about the nation of Israel. When God moved is when they cried out, when they reached out to him. So if anybody needs a miracle from the Lord this morning, I want to ask you to stand. And I'd like to pray for us. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, church, as I pray, I encourage you to extend your hand towards someone. Those of you who are seated, extend your hand towards those that are standing and beseech the Lord on their behalf to meet that need, to prove himself as a miracle-working God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And Lord, you, as we've seen in Scripture, you are a miracle working God. Power beyond comprehension. And Lord, we are so convinced in ourselves that we have the ability to do supernatural things that only you can do. And so, Father, for those that are standing, signifying that they need you, they need a touch from you, they need a miracle from you, God, I pray would you would honor their reaching out to you. And Father, would you meet these needs this morning for your glory? If it's physical healing, we pray for that. If it's financial provision, we pray for that. Father, if there's just lack of peace in the heart, we pray for that. Lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge, we pray for that. We cry out for that this morning. Lord, if there are strained relationships, Father, we pray that you provide a miracle in that area this morning for your glory. Oh, God, we trust you. We need you. And you are the God of miracles. And Lord, I pray again for this church. We're absolutely dependent on you for provision, for ministry, for things that we do. Trusting you for the future. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have the praise team come up. We're going to sing a song that may be new to most of you. It's just a declaration that we believe that God is a God of miracles. He's a miracle-working God. I invite you to go ahead and stand. God of miracles.
who does it possible, is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins.
Beats something like 3 billion times, moves blood through our body 3 billion times in our lifetime. There's not another man-made pump that can make that claim. He's a God of miracles. Praise Him for the life that you have today and be blessed. God bless you. Have a good day.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do 4 things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.